Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Amen. All right, guys. Good morning. Excellent. Again, my name is Franklin. I'm a member here. Also part of the residency and aspiring to become an elder. Today we continue our series on the I Am statements of Jesus. So even though we're kind of in the middle of the series, this statement that we're going to talk about today is actually the last one in the Gospel of John. And the reason we're walking through this series is to grow in our relationship with God. We believe that when we move from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus, we turn to having a relationship with him. This is such an awesome statement. I can relate to this statement so much. You see, I grew up in a Catholic home, going to Catholic school, going to Catholic church. In high school, I actually stopped going to Catholic school and Catholic church, but I had some friends that took me to their churches, so I actually went to a bunch of different churches and different denominations. Fast forward a bit, as I'm going through my real estate career, I'm 32 at the time, and I meet this guy, Bob. Yeah. A lot of hopes and dreams in that face right there. I meet this guy, Bob, and he's, first thing he does after, you know, talking to him for a few minutes, he starts talking to me about Jesus. And I give him the spiel. I'm like, I don't need to hear about Jesus. I know everything there is to know about Jesus. Don't tell me. I'm done. I give him the spiel. I went to church as a kid and did all that. But you see, there was a couple things that that Bob saw in my life. One of them was that I did not speak like somebody that knew Jesus, that had a relationship with him. And two, I did not behave like somebody who had a relationship with Jesus. So have I told you where we're going to be at today? Okay, no worries. We're going to be in John 15. So if you want to pull out your Bibles, if you don't have a physical Bible, no worries. You can download an app called YouVersion. You can download it from the Google Play Store or the App Store, and you can scroll with us to John 15. So we're going to start in verse 1, and what I'm going to do is read it, and then we're going to go back and talk about it. So John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that God that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do as I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servants don't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you love one another. The word of the Lord. So a little bit of context. These are part of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. You see, he's in the they're in the upper room where they had the Last Supper, and they're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane through the Mount of Olives. And he's comforting them. Why is he comforting them? Because he's on the way to the cross. So have you guys ever been in the garden? It's pretty, all these flowers and all these, you know, plants and stuff. It's very pretty. So as he's taking them through all this, you're going to see all these great vineyards and all these things. So it's a very pretty sight. So not only is he talking about the vine as a symbol of what he's talking about, he's also talking about something that the disciples would have known about, because this symbol is used many times in the Old Testament. But let's go back to verse 1 for a second. Jesus says he is the true vine. He uses that word true. Jesus has given us a warning there, that, and one that we should be mindful of, that there are false vines out there. False vines that we may connect to that don't help us grow, don't help us bear fruit. So we should be mindful of all the vines that are out there. But Jesus is also telling us that he is the true vine. He is the one that that we need to stay connected to. So I mentioned that the disciples knew exactly what this meant. In Psalms 80, 8 to 11, it says, You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out the branches to the sea and the shoots to the river. You see, the psalmist here is talking about Israel being the vine. And the psalmist is praying to God that God visit his vine, that he restore his vine. But you see, Israel couldn't be that vine. We move to Isaiah, where it shows that in Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, outcry. You see, Israel couldn't be that vine because they chose their sin, they showed their pride, they chose their selfishness. But God knew that. Jesus tells us that he is the true vine. He is the true Israel. Jesus is the obedient servant of God, the one that would give up his life for the ransom of many, the vine that connects everyone to God. So since Israel couldn't get the job done of connecting the nations to God, Jesus came and to complete the task. So from this passage, I want you to get two things, and you can write this down. One, God prunes, and two, God grows. So as we are abiding in Jesus, we are connected to the vine. God does the work of removing things that will stunt our growth. God removes things that will keep us from growing, and he gives us what we need to actually grow to have a healthy and strong spiritual relationship with him. As we continue in verse 2, we start talking about one of our favorite things. Everybody likes a good pruning, right? Yeah, nobody does, right? So pruning is just a process of cutting things out that keep a plant from growing healthy and bigger. So imagine the process in our lives, cutting things out of our lives that are hard, things that we're used to, things that we depend on, maybe. All those things are hard. Wouldn't you agree that growing is hard? So let's get back to the vineyard. I want to talk about the vineyard and the process of pruning for a moment. See, for me, what I normally know about grapes is that I go to the store and grab them off the shelf. And the idea of pruning was, well, you cut off the dead branches and they just grow more, right? That's basically my basic idea of what pruning is. But that's just one purpose. There's actually a second purpose to pruning. And the second purpose is for them to grow good grapes. Because if they don't get pruned, they grow wild grapes. And everybody likes a wild grape, right? No, not actually. When the vineyard is growing and we don't prune it, it becomes overgrown. So it produces smaller, less healthy grapes, and it becomes a big tangled mess. It also limits sunlight and circulation to the vine. So it produces wild grapes. They're smaller, less healthy, and they don't grow to their full potential. So ultimately, the purpose of pruning is to grow larger grapes and healthier grapes. It gives grapes that are connected to the vine all the oxygen and all the nutrients it needs. So imagine for our lives, as we are connected to Jesus, there are going to be things that are pruned that at the moment may be hard, maybe things that we're used to. But guess what? It helps us to become, to grow stronger in our relationship with Jesus, and it helps us to grow mature in our relationship with Jesus. So as we're pruned, whether that is revealing a sin that we didn't know was there, or a relationship that we didn't realize was taking us away from God, or walking through a trial in our life that builds perseverance in our relationship with God. As a result of his pruning, we will produce more fruit for Jesus. As we are pruned, we become healthier for those around us. So it's not just you that grows healthier. Everyone around you grows healthier. Everyone benefits by you being connected to the vine. So you see, there are two things that we need to gather, is that God prunes and God grows. Jesus uses how he being the vine and we being the branches shows how we being connected to him is how we grow. So what does it look like to be connected to Jesus? How do you know you are connected to the vine? Here are a couple things that will tell you if you're connected to the vine. Write this first one down. Believe that you're clean. See, in verse 3, Jesus says that you are clean by the word. He has done the work. It's not I have to get better or I have to fix this or that. It's you are clean when you believe. It's not just I know what he did and know who he is. You actually have to believe in who he is. See, as Alexa mentioned, we're a few weeks away from Easter. We're 3 weeks, to be exact, away from Easter. And we're about to celebrate what he's done. He is about to be the ransom for many. He died and rose that we can have a relationship with him. See, the work is done, and all you have to do is believe. If you haven't decided yet to believe, that's okay. Today you can do so. All you have to do is turn away and believe. Second thing is, write this down, we have to stay in his love. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. As we abide in him, he cares for us. He tends to our needs. He consoles us when we're burdened. He lifts our spirits when we're down. See, we need the gospel every day just like anybody else does. We need to remind ourselves that that the work is done. We need to remind ourselves that he loves us so much that he went to the cross and died for us. See, he has our best interest at heart all the time. So that's when we're able to let go of the things that keep our eye away from him. See, we need to make him the priority. When we make him the priority, he gives everything that we need. That word priority, today we use the word priorities, right? Which means that we have a lot of things taking first place. We have our jobs, our home, our school, our families and friends. See, we have a lot of things vying for that top spot. An English author, Greg McKeown, as he was doing research for one of his books, he found that when priority came into the English language in the 1400s, it was singular. What did it mean? The very first thing, before all other things. By definition, you cannot have more than one priority. And for 500 years, the word meant a singular idea. And then it evolved to talk, and now we talk about priorities. You ever wonder why words change like that? Why that happens? Well, let's not go there. I'll talk to my therapist, Dr. West, later this week. When we make Jesus the priority, we stay in his love. See, Jesus loves you. So when we make other things the priority, we miss out on the fullness of his love. So even though we may prioritize our job, Jesus loves you. Even though we may prioritize where we live, Jesus loves you. Even though when we prioritize our school, Jesus loves you. Even when we prioritize our family, well, Jesus loved them first. So what do I mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. So even when we prioritize other things before God, he still died for us. He still died for our sins. But when we put those things before Jesus, well, we miss out on the fullness of his love. We miss out on the best possible experience that we can have in those areas that I just talked about. But when we make him the priority, because he loves us and wants the best for us and those around us, well, his love will overflow into those areas of our job, our home, our families and friends, and our school. We will experience those things to the fullness of joy. See, when we don't put Jesus as the priority, we're robbing the fullness of joys in those areas. It's incomplete when we don't make Jesus the priority. So let's make Jesus the priority today. So this leads me into my third point. Write this down. Love one another. In verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When we are to love one another as Jesus loved us, that's our command. We see every time on TV, especially during sporting events, ads about love versus hate, right? But you see, God had this idea from the beginning. God wanted us to love one another from the beginning. But in order for us to love others, we have to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to Jesus. If we look back in verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These commandments I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So as we make him the priority, we experience the fullness of joy and the fullness of love. Doesn't that sound amazing? So when we love one another, it's from his joy and love. See, our love and joy comes and goes. It's not always full. I mean, I can barely have enough love and joy for myself at times, let alone somebody else, right? Which sometimes makes me hard to love. I know that's hard to believe, right? just ask my wife. Yes, don't ask her. see, our command to love one another is connected to staying in his love, connected to the vine. We are able to love one another from the overflow of his love. Our joy to serve others comes from the overflow of his joy. Brandon told a story a couple months ago about the missionary, now pastor, in Greece. He told the story about when he visited the hospital. He got called into the hospital and visited a guy that was basically on his deathbed. And the guy kept asking him, "Why are you here? Why are you even visiting me? You don't even know me." And the pastor said that he was there to meet with Jesus. See, the pastor explained that he was in the hospital. He explained Matthew 25, when Jesus says, "When I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was a stranger, when I was sick, you fed me, you gave me drink, you welcomed me, and you visited me." See, when we serve others in any capacity, we do it through Jesus, to be connected with him. So we hear that story, and we think that, wow, that's an amazing story. You know, to be able to go to a stranger and go to the hospital and just talk to somebody. But you see, there's a saying in sports, you practice how you play. I mean, you play how you practice. You see, the pastor, the now pastor, for 8 years was connected to the vine, and the overflow of his of Jesus was flowing to everybody around him. To fast forward 8 years later, the hospital called him, our beloved brother in Christ. So it's not something that magically happens overnight. It's the constant renewal of our hearts that leads us to bearing fruit. But the constant connection to the vine, the constant connection to Jesus. So the fourth point, and write this down, God answers prayers. In verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Again in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. See, he wants to give you everything that you need. He just wants you to ask. I'm going to give maybe a simpler analogy to kind of make this point a little clearer. So last week, the boys and I, or the whole family, were watching the NCAA wrestling championships. See, we were a big sports family. Actually, we are still a big sports family. while the boys were younger, we did sports all the time, all year round, I think it was. They played baseball, they played lacrosse, they played football, and they wrestled. And we were especially busy during wrestling. See, during their sports career, they could ask me for whatever they wanted, and I would try to get it for them. They would ask me for new cleats, new wrestling gear, new lacrosse stuff. I would get it for them. We were locked in. We were so in sync that they could ask me whatever they wanted, and I would try to give it to them. But you see, there was something missing. What was missing was the most important thing. Jesus. You see, I wanted to give them everything, but I didn't give them the most important thing. To the point that when their sports career ended, they didn't know what to do. Their identity was lost. Mind you, we were already going to church. We were a part of FCA and all these things. But you see, I wasn't fully connected to the vine. I wasn't healthy in my relationship with Jesus. So they couldn't be. You see, it all ends. Sports end. Popularity ends. Parenting ends. Well, at least different stages of parenting, because parenting now is way different than it was 20 years ago. For me, anyways. You know. Your jobs end. People change jobs or retire all the time. So everything ends. You know what doesn't end? Jesus. He never ends. So if I had the mindset to give my kids everything that they were asking for, imagine Jesus when you are connected with him. What wouldn't he do for you when you're connected to Jesus? Worship team, you can come up. But when God prunes, he removes things that keep us from growing. As God prunes, he helps us grow to have a relationship with him, a stronger relationship, a healthy relationship with Jesus. And that's when we move from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus. And we turn to having a relationship with him. So what's the point here? Jesus wants to create a deep, long-lasting relationship with you. He wants to create oneness with you. So I'm gonna jump a couple chapters. You don't have to go there. I'm gonna jump to chapter 17 really quick. It's a beautiful chapter because it's Jesus praying. At the beginning of the chapter, he starts praying for his disciples. And then towards the end of the chapter, you know what he does? He starts praying for you and me. I'm just read it. John 17, starting in verse 20. I do not ask for these only, talking about his disciples, but I also ask for those who will believe in me through their word, you and me, that they may all be one, just as the Father, you are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, who you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. You see, Jesus is trying to create oneness with us. You see, before we were born, he was already praying for us. Isn't that amazing? So if you are feeling disconnected to divine, if you feel yourself wanting to be connected to Jesus, the beautiful thing is that his love is waiting for you. You don't have to wait to be in his love. And as you're entering in his love, invite somebody with you. Let the overflow of his love overflow to those around you. Let's pray.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.